Greetings to the subscribers of The Industrialist. My name is Manuela Peintner. I'm a managing director for Accenture. I'm here with Thomas Book, the CIO of Vitesco. Thomas, great to have you here.
Thank you, Manuela. Welcome, everybody, to this interview.
Thomas, can you please give me one word that describes you best?
This is going to be very interesting for many people knowing me. In general, I would say I'm a positive person. I can see the worst case scenarios, but tend to believe in the best case scenarios. So the word I would choose would be confident.
Can you give a quick overview of Vitesco Technologies and its business?
Sure. At Vitesco Technologies, we focused very early on the strategic important field of electromobility. And we are also faster than other ones in transforming to electromobility. Since we offer innovative solutions for all electrified drive systems, we think we will benefit greatly from the very strong development and dynamical growth in that market. According to many analysts and investors, we have done a lot of things right compared to the market. So we are pretty well placed in that market of electrified mobility.
In 2019, the Vitesco technology was carved out from Continental, and in September 21, Vitesco became independent and was listed at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. When you look back, what were the critical success factors that enabled this the smooth spin-off and that helped Vitesco to become a speedboat in the market?
I would say the most critical success factor from my point of view is the team. We were able to build for the spin-off a great team coming from Continental to join us. And together with the spirit and the culture we have at Vitesco, this made a big difference. On the other hand, this modern trend and this modern culture we have here enabled us as well to inspire a lot of new people to join Vitesco and bring their skills in so that we could build a very, very strong and skilled team. That maybe was the number one success factor for the smooth spin-off. Secondly, I would say it's our consistent focus on the cloud and using cloud platforms wherever possible. Right from the beginning, this gave us the necessary flexibility and speed when it was about providing the infrastructure for Vitesco. We were very fast. And that was very decisive at that point in time, because everything from there on was built on that infrastructure. The earlier we had it, the more time for all the other things. At the same time, with our focus on the cloud, we were able to lay a perfect foundation for all our digitalization initiatives right now. So it was not only good for the spin-off, but it's as well paying off now for the digitalization journey of Vitesco. And maybe a third point to add, that we focused on security right from the beginning. In fact, we had to take a greenfield approach because it was a complete spin-off. Mm-hmm. So no infrastructure there. And that allowed us to rethink our complete architecture in terms of security. Maybe to use two examples, we were able to migrate our office and our operation resources in two different Active Directories. If you have to do this, you know, in a normal environment, separated, it's much more difficult than if you migrate it anyway, mm-hmm. into different Active Directories. Or the second example, to move our most important system into a tier level concept to better protect it for ransomware attacks or so, as we had to copy and we had to move it anyway, it was much easier to adapt the tier level concept for us, for example. So those, from my point of view, were three important points as success factors I would name for our spin-off.
Thanks. I mean, that explains that you do have already a very, very strong digital backbone today at Vitesco Technology. Let's talk about digital core. When we look at our clients, only 15% have completed their transition to a modern SAP architectural platform. So where would you say, where are you on your journey to cloud, and what are the next steps in the near future?
Unfortunately, our SAP systems were the only thing that wasn't in the cloud after the spin-off. In the course of all the work to be done, we preferred to just copy it within the existing external data centers. But now we have addressed this, and we are starting our move to the AWS cloud with SAP RISE. The kickoff is soon, and this should be completed by the beginning of 25. So it's finally closing the last gap, unless we can really say now we are completely fully in the cloud.
Actually, we believe being in the cloud and having the right data architecture and by using AI is required to achieve further insights, efficiencies, but also cost takeout, which is currently on top of mind of the current macro environment. So what is your view on that, especially in the light of, you know, data, automation, AI, and how would you see that in response to the need of further cost reduction?
From my point of view, being in the cloud is not only about cost reduction, right? It's much more. When we decide if we rather move to cloud or not, costs are not the main decisive factor for it. It's more the capabilities we have, and we see that things are going so much more easy once we are in the cloud. Point number two, cost efficiency or cost takeouts in IT will never keep up with the cost savings we can achieve in business. If we can provide technologies like artificial intelligence, like automation, and so on. So we mainly focus, of course, on the efficiency in business because there are the much bigger numbers, right? So rather invest in IT, get the bigger numbers in business with that kind of technology. And finally, for us, all those technologies, and we have many areas where we are moving forward right now, gaining the efficiencies and trying to save the costs and the getting the process optimizations, like areas like digital twins, generative AI, and still data analytics is a big issue. There are still many, many requests to data analytics. All of that, from our point of view, can only be based on cloud technology and on the cloud, right? Once we have all our applications, all our data in the cloud, we are much faster implementing new use cases. And those use cases then finally lead to cost efficiencies, but rather in the business than on IT side, because this is our focus.
Thanks for mentioning generative AI. Where would you see the biggest opportunities for your company in leveraging generative AI? And if you can, maybe you want to highlight a use case.
I already said that we very early focused on that very important strategic field of electrification. And we can already see this focus paying off by the order intake we got from our customers, right? So our customers really believe in our story and trust in us and give us the orders. And now we have, of course, to deliver according to those orders. This means for us, we need to be fast, take care on our time to market of our products. We need to improve in operational speed, quality, and all those kind of things. We consider generative AI as a kind of a big game changer, again, coming from IT technology to improve in those areas. We right now started to build up our generative AI foundation. We collect use cases, and then out of the use cases, we condense common requirements. All the use cases have in common, right? And based on those common requirements, we build a foundation. And once this foundation is available, usually 80-90% of the requirements are already covered, and then we can implement a lot of different use cases very fast. So this is our approach. And right now we are building that foundation, of course, in the cloud. We will focus very much on use cases in the area of engineering processes, and operations.
Let's talk about digital resilience. So what role do open data ecosystem initiatives like Catena X play for making Vitesco's value chain more resilient?
Of course, those platforms play a crucial role for us. My first point would not be on resilience. In fact, we already are confronted with some clear requirements from our customers where we can hardly follow up on without having platforms like Catena X in place. If you think about the topic of sustainability, the topic of your CO2 footprint, you have to provide it from cradle to grave, right? From the very beginning to the very end of your product. This includes all your suppliers and it includes your customers. And you need to collect the data and have it available all along the supply chain for being able to report out what the footprint of that product is. As this is across all the OEMs and all the suppliers, the same challenge, it makes totally sense from our point of view that we kind of come together at a platform like ContainerX, align on common data structures, and by that having the possibility to fulfill those requirements and optimize the way working towards it. Therefore, these platforms for me are even more focused on real use cases we have rather than on resilience.
So actually, in the light of that, what would you say, what is the key to further drive collaboration and network building across the whole automotive industry, from the big corporations, the OEMs, to the small or medium-sized companies?
It's very crucial that we come out of a loosely discussioning mode into a mode of concrete use cases we are working together on, right? I mean, we had Gaia X in the beginning, and it was hard for me to follow what this could help. Then we had ContainerX, it was still hard to follow. And then ContainerX came up with the 10 use cases, right? They want to follow up, like circular economy, like the topic of sustainability, and so on and so on. And once this was there, it was much clearer from my point of view, at least for us to work on, right? To really work on these very clear use cases together. That, from my point of view, makes the difference on those kind of platforms, right? We, Vitesco Technologies, we are participating in other kind of those platforms, for example, with focus on KI in the KI park or so on. Finally, if you can come together with all the partners in the ecosystem around a use case, discussions are getting more valuable and you are closer to get results out of it.
Let's talk about cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is often viewed as a purely technical function, which has to be handled by IT alone. So how are you and your team helping to elevate cybersecurity to an organization-wide priority?
In fact, as you say, technically, we do really good. We have set up an infrastructure and the right tools in place and focusing on a zero trust environment with endpoint detection, with a very good network security, things like that. But you are totally right. It's much more than that. And we as IT, we have put this in focus as well. We provided trainings for every employee to do on a regular basis, several times a year. You have to freshen up your cybersecurity training. It's in our HR systems. It's a marker. You get a reminder to do it. It's checked if everybody has done it. Otherwise, you get reminders again. We prepared phishing campaigns. We run 4 phishing campaigns this year. So by the end of the year, every employee will have been part of a phishing campaign. We get back to every single employee and report out how the behavior was and if we did right or what we proposed they should do better. So there are many things we are doing around creating awareness in the whole organization. A very popular thing was a security coffee we had where everybody could join and the IT team showed how a hacking attack looks like, how it looks like if you go into the trap of a phishing mail, and then the hackers use what they got from you to take over your PC. We showed that really in a live case and had a lot of people looking at that, and this creates awareness. So we are totally aware it's more than the technical part. So it's about making the organization aware, gaining more skills and knowledge about cybersecurity. And it's for us, as well, a topic of IT. So we in IT are really driving those things. It's not coming from somewhere else in the organization.
Thanks for sharing these insights, Thomas. So final question, what inspires you the most?
In fact, it's working. I have a private life and I have hobbies. I make a lot of sports and those inspire me as well. But in fact, it's I love to go to work every day. I like working with my team. There are, of course, tasks that are like more or less, but especially when it's about, you know, discussing about the future of the company and how IT can support it, develop new ideas, starting, kicking off projects. That's what really inspires me. I really came out of some workshops where I felt like I've never been inspired that much like from that workshop. So I have to say that's the truth. Yeah.
Thanks a lot. It was great having you today, Thomas.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it a lot.